Father God, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you, first of all, for our Lord Jesus Christ. For he is our life. He's our everything. I just want to ask today that through your Holy Spirit, Father, just guide us to that truth that is Jesus. Guide us. Let it not just be our thoughts or our whatever we think, but let it be you. Let it be you that you guide us to that truth that is Jesus Christ, the one that lives in us. And just kind of, you know, just guide us to that. Let us see that, Father. Let us see that. Let us see your Son. We ask, Father, that, you know, whatever you want to share into our hearts, you know, our hearts are open. Our hearts are open and ready. And ready for you. Just want to ask that, you know, through your Holy Spirit, you guide us to that reality that is Jesus. So I want to thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. I wanted to start sharing Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And this is after the resurrection.
And then 13, right?
Uh-huh. Lucas 24, versículo 13. And it talks about how Jesus resurrected, and, you know, they were trying to, before that, it talks about how they went to look for him and that he wasn't there anymore. And then Mary went, and she was telling the disciples, hey, no, Jesus is not there. And you know, the disciples like, kind of what's going on. And it says that, you know, Peter got up and ran to the tomb, and he saw that he wasn't there. And afterwards, it talks about the road to Emmaus. And this is what we're going to talk about today. All right. So, and behold, two of them were going to that. Two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, this is, you know, they were kind of, all this happened in Jerusalem, and they were leaving, you know, pasó cuando ya se estaban yendo después de que Jesús había resucitado, ya todos estaban yendo para sus pueblos. Everybody was leaving to their own, you know, to their towns. And, you know, they were going back. And then it says that, and they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. And I was sharing this with Jimmy in the morning. Is logically, we can't think logically, because how is it that, I mean, they were talking about what happened, right? So they knew Jesus, of course. It was, you know, it was them. They were with him also. So how can they not recognize him? Dice que ellos caminaban con Jesús y ellos no reconocieron a Jesús cuando Jesús iba caminando con ellos. So we can take that out of the way where, I mean, how can they forget how Jesus looked? You know, so the logic is that, you know, if Jesus appeared and they didn't recognize him, it wasn't because they didn't know how Jesus looked. All right? So that logic goes out the window. So it has to be something else that, you know, they
Something different.
They didn't recognize. They didn't recognize him. He was, you know, he can do that. He's, you know, he's God. He's the Son of God. You know, he can do that, right? It's not. I don't believe that he was kind of wearing a mask and stuff. I don't think so. And then it says, while they were, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. All right, so their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you are walking? And they stood still looking sad. Dice que estaban tristes, you know, because de lo que había pasado con Jesús. It says, one of them named Cleopas answered and said to him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here these days? And he said to them, what things? You know, that was Jesus, you know. He does that to us. Can you imagine? Lord, what's going on? What's going on? See, you know, my life is falling apart. What? Really? What's going on? Tell me about it. And they said to him, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the woman also had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets and all that the prophet has spoken. What was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Remember, they were 7 hours away from their town. So, you know, Jesus starts to, since it started from Moses, and he starts through the prophets and starts testifying of what the word said, you know, and Jimmy was talking about yesterday, and I kind of felt in my heart to speak about this because even though they knew the scriptures, I mean, they knew, I mean, Jesus was kind of going over it, but at that point they didn't recognize Jesus. You know, they didn't recognize Jesus. Jesus had to go over this in the scriptures for them to, you know, and we see towards the end how the Lord, you know, it says that, you know, when he's done, you know, he was kind of, all right, well, you know, I guess they got there and, all right, guys, we'll see you later. And then something in their hearts, it said that, hey, you know what, come stay with us. It's already late. And it was there where, you know, Jesus, well, let's go first. And then in verse 28, and they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going farther. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting towards evening, and the day is not nearly over. So he went into to stay with them. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took a bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, the Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. You know, it's in the beginning, it talks about how the eyes, you know, their eyes were, they were covered so they wouldn't recognize the Lord, you know. And but when Jesus was there, he went through the scriptures that testified about him. And at the end, you know, we can see how their eyes are open as they break the bread and he disappears. You know, we know Jesus lives in us. You know, he is our life. He lives, you know, and talking, you know, yesterday, you know, that's the truth. You know, Jesus, you know, Jesus vive en nosotros, you know, he's our life, right? I mean, can we all agree, can we agree on that? Can we agree that, you know, Jesus is our life? You know, Jesus lives in us. You know, because, see, the thing is, si nosotros no creemos que Cristo vive en nosotros, entonces, todo lo demás que podamos leer no importa. You know, I mean, if we don't believe that Jesus is our life, I mean, nothing else really matters. I mean, that's gotta be the base. You know, when a race starts, you know, and they're like, you know, there's a line, and that's where the start is. You know, that's our start. You know, we accepted Jesus. Aceptamos a Cristo. Lo aceptamos en nuestro corazón. We accepted him. And, you know, and at that time we said, you know, Lord, you know, we accept you. You are Savior. You know, come live in me. And we made that decision at one point of our lives. And it's done. You know, that's our beginning. It's done. It happened. He's our life. Like we were saying yesterday, nobody can take that away. Nobody can take that away. You know, today I want to, let's share, you know, let's talk, you know, Pastor Jimmy, I mean, Jimmy's here, and I really want us to, you know, the Lord is in us, and when we share, you know, we know how the Lord opens our eyes, you know, in the sharing of the bread, You know, and that's what we, and that's what we wanted to do this morning. Kind of like, you know, Jesus, you know, the bread, you know, is in us. Let's break bread, you know, and let's just share. What's in your heart? What do you want to share, Jimmy?
I was thinking about yesterday, you know, with all that we shared yesterday, and even this morning I'm driving over here with Brother Tony, and just what the Lord put on his heart with his whole account with Jesus and the disciples on the Emmaus Road, and. Some say that, you know, Simon Peter was one of those disciples. It doesn't say specifically, so I'm not going to say he was or he wasn't. But they were disciples of Christ. So at some point, these disciples walked with Jesus also. And yet, after the death, burial, and resurrection, they don't know him. And see, at some point, they're walking in a way on a road, and he appears with them. And see, before we were born again, we were walking, and we were actually, whether we see it or not, whether we think it or not, but if we look back, you can see how even before you were born again, God literally did the impossible to get you to the place where you could receive his salvation. I got accepted into a university after I was rejected by them, because that's where I received salvation. The Lord like moves and makes and changes and puts things in order for this to happen, to receive everything he created the soul to receive. And so the Lord was leading these guys, whether they know it or not. They're on this path, they're on this road, and at some point, Jesus appears, okay? Now, right there, they're not born again. But there's a testimony right there. It's a beautiful testimony. It's like we're going along, and then we receive Christ. Christ appears. He's there. And he's right here. They have no clue who's present. They don't know. But he's there. I mean, we read it, and we say, oh, I know it's Jesus. What's wrong with these guys? The same thing that's wrong with us. We don't see the one who's present. But he's there. I love how Tony was just sharing. It's like 7 hours. I didn't know it was 7 hours. Imagine a Bible study with Jesus for 7 hours. And what's he going to talk about? Moses and the prophets, that's the entire Old Testament. Moses and the prophets, that is the law and the prophets. That's the whole entire Old Testament. What does the Lord do in all this time? He begins showing himself in the scriptures. He begins showing himself in the scriptures. He begins declaring, showing how the testimony, how the scriptures are the testimony of him everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And so they're going and they're listening. Wow. And they knew the scriptures. They knew them before. They were Jews. They knew the scriptures. Or they thought they knew the scriptures. And so Jesus starts expounding, showing himself, opening. It says, my translation says, he opened the scriptures up to them. Because before they were closed. Well, what did the scriptures talk about? Well, it talks about this, it talks about that. That's when the scriptures are closed. He opened the scriptures. It talks about Jesus. It declares him. And so this whole entire time, they're hearing the testimony of Christ himself by Jesus himself is being declared. And they're receiving it not in these natural ears and trying to figure it out with the natural brain. They're receiving it into the heart. Because they're saying later on, didn't our heart like burn? I mean, it was having an effect in here. And that effect is expectation, hope. expectation and hope is kind of like this. This is a sad example, but it's like when you're a kid and Christmas time is coming up and you see a gift and you see your name on it. Once you see your name on that gift, there's expectation in your heart. And you can't wait till you can open it to see what you got. To see what you've been given. You have no clue what you've been given until it's opened up. But there's that expectation there. You're like counting the days down. It's like, okay, how many more days left? And some people even go down to hours. How many hours left? How many minutes left? How many seconds left? And then come Christmas morning, you know the first ones up are probably the kids. It's like, come on, guys, come on, I'm waiting, come on. You know, why? Because there's an expectation that's been birthed in the heart. That's what the scriptures do. That's what the testimony does. Produce, birth, an expectation to see the one we cannot see. And the whole entire time they're walking with Jesus, he's there. And that expectation is being birthed, but they don't see him yet. They have no clue who it is. And what's happening is he is gathering the fragments. But what are the fragments? All of the scriptures that testify of him. Well, what scriptures? The whole thing. Gathering the fragments of the testimony. Here is Christ as the Lamb of God that they offered while they were in Egypt. And see here, the rock that they drank from, where the waters came out of the rock, the living waters. And that's all he's doing, gathering the fragments. And that's why it says, when he broke bread, because you remember when Jesus did the same exact miracle several different times, you know, the multitudes, they need something to eat. Well, Jesus is like, feed them. We don't have anything. What do you have? Oh, well, this one time they said, we have such and such left over from the last time. Here, bring them to me. Gathering the fragments. The miracle of God, now. Impart. Now, give to everybody else. And everybody was fed and satisfied. And so it's in the breaking of bread that, at that point, to me, the Lord, from the fragments of the testimony that are gathered, he now, boom, here I am. And it says their eyes were opened. And it's not our natural eyes. I mean, well, actually, right there, it was their natural eyes. Their natural eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. And I say it was their natural eyes because then it says, he immediately vanished. But see, the testimony's there. When we're born again, he's on the inside. Pastor Tony just mentioned that. He's on the inside. He is there, whether we know him to be there or not, whether we even believe him to be there or not. But when we're reading the scriptures, the Spirit of God is drawing to the testimony of Jesus to birth that same expectation to see the one who's right there the whole entire time from the moment of new birth. And at some point, and I don't know the timing of it, it's for everybody. It's kind of like, well, when is a person going to be born again? I don't know. When is a person going to see the Lord like that? I don't know. God the Father knows. And at some point, the Lord, by his Spirit, brings the testimony, testify to me. He will take that which is mine, of mine, and shall show it unto you, make it known unto you. So that same expectation is birthed to see the very one who's present right there. That's what was in my heart when Brother Tony was sharing with me. Coming over here and even here. And see, the thing is too, this is kind of what was sort of on my heart of the Lord. At the moment of new birth, Christ appears in our soul. he appears as everything that God declared. Everything. Everything. The Lamb of God is there. The peace of God is there. The love of God is there. The righteousness of God is there. The kingdom of God is there because the king is present. Everything. He also appears as the foundation of everything. The foundation of everything. And everything that we have known of the Lord. This is going to sound really crazy, but the Lord is trying to bring us from our knowing of him, because the disciples' knowing of Jesus kept them blind from the Jesus who was present. I mean, disciples, let's say they walked with him maybe 1 year. So during that time, they would probably walk with him, talk with him, eat with him, sleep with him, wake up again, do it all over again. Wake up again, do it all over again. Every day, in and out. That's what they did. They were always together. And that was their knowing of him. As Raymond mentioned yesterday, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's our knowing of him. But then there's God's knowing. To bring us upon that foundation of our knowing, not being based on what we've known, but on what God himself knows of his son. When the bread was broken and distributed, right then and there, their eyes were opened. It wasn't their knowing. It was God's knowing. And that's what happens in our hearts. That's what happens in our hearts. We come from what I know about Jesus, because it started off. Jesus shows up. I mean, what a crazy question. Oh, you know, all this stuff. And who are you? You know, oh, what are you guys talking about? Oh, well, everything that happened in Jerusalem. Oh, what happened? What? What kind of stranger are you? Don't you know what happened? Let me tell you what I believe happened. Let me tell you, Jesus, what I know about Jesus. Oh, well, tell me then what you know about me. Well, you didn't say me. Tell me what you know. And they go on, well, this and this and this. They said this. He was a prophet, mighty in word, deed, miracles. That's what they knew. That's what they said. That's our knowing. Some people say, oh, Jesus, he was just a good man. A lot of religions that aren't even Christian religions say, Jesus was a good man. He was a good prophet. And yet God the Father doesn't know his son that way. He's the greater than the greatest prophet. He is the great prophet. He is the great apostle. He is the great high priest. He is that and so much more. He is greater than. He is everything. But we don't know who he is. I don't. God knows. And the Spirit of God prepares our heart so that the Spirit of God can bring us from the foundation that is man below. Bring us in our understanding under the foundation who is Christ above. All right? Now I'm going to say it again, lest we think we're in one place and Jesus is another. God the Father knows God the Son. The Spirit of God works to prepare the ground of our heart to bring us in knowledge from the knowledge of good and evil, what we know about Jesus, what we've learned about Jesus, what we've studied about Jesus. I mean, Jesus talked to them. What we've heard from the Lord, unto God's very own knowledge of his son. At that point, you can't claim that, oh, well, this is how much I studied, so now I know. No. That's not dependent upon your study. That's dependent upon God's mercy. God doing what only he can do. I wanted to read just another verse. And see, this is one of the things that's just so awesome. And when you look at, like, God's knowing of his son, it's not just like, okay, yeah, well, great, that's God's knowing of his son, what about me type? Because that's what it always comes down to. That's great, God has a perfect knowing of his, God knows his son, that's perfect and everything, then what about me? It always comes down to that. Where do I fit in? Well, in that equation, it's just God. See, the mercy of God is that he gave you his beloved son. And not only that, his beloved son is salvation for the soul, life for the soul. So not being prideful, but agreeing with what God has said in the scriptures, his beloved son, the one in whom the Father is always well pleased, he is my life. Listen to the way I say this. God the Father is pleased with my life. My life who is Christ, his son. I mean, what a foundation is that? Not based upon what you did or didn't do. Not based upon you. Based upon his son. I mean, how much does the Father love the Son? More than what we know. More than what we know. The passage, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Jacob, a type of Christ, a testimony of Christ. Jacob have I loved. This was even before the children were born. They weren't even born. They weren't born yet. It wasn't God's acceptance was not based upon what they did or what they didn't do. His acceptance was not based upon what they thought or what they didn't think. God chooses his son. He accepts his son. He receives his son. And in his mercy, this is the one whom God offered unto our soul. Before you were born again. He's already accepted his son. All you did was receive this immeasurable gift. Not based upon what you did. Not based upon what you thought. You didn't get straight. You didn't get right with God. You didn't toe the line. You probably weren't even looking for the Lord. He just kind of in a roundabout way led you to be able to receive everything he created your soul to receive. This is a passage in Numbers, and I love this. This is when Balak hires Balaam to curse Israel. You know, Numbers chapter 23, verse 20. I've been looking at this. It has bothered me with Balaam. You know,
Numbers what?
23:20. Balaam, he's the one who got rebuked by the donkey. You know, like how what I was saying. God will use anything and everything to get our attention. Unfortunately, even after he's rebuked by a donkey, he still doesn't let that rebuke bring him to the Lord. You know, he doesn't. He's just resisting. But listen to this. So he's hired to curse Israel because Israel is about to come in and possess the land. I mean, that's the setting. And Israel, in their minds, may be a big group of people. But what God knows is Israel is my son, even my firstborn. My son have I called out of Egypt. And it's singular, Christ, right? So this is what Balaam says. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he is blessed. I cannot reverse it. Because Balak told Balaam, curse Israel. And God says, no, I'm blessed. And so Balaam tells Balak, the guy who hired him, to curse Israel? I can't curse him. God's blessed him. I can't curse him. I can't do anything. He goes on. God, the Lord, that's the Lord, Yahweh, has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Just hold up right there. God finds no fault in Jacob. And you're thinking, what? How can this be? I see the fault everywhere. You know? Try looking in the mirror. Everywhere. Oh, but that's what you see. That's what you know. Our salvation, our security is not based upon what we see or what we know. See, because what we see and what we know has a foundation of sand. No stability there. God knows the salvation that He's placed and laid in our heart, in our soul. That foundation is Christ Himself. To bring us from our knowing to His knowing. To bring our heart in knowledge, from our knowledge to His knowledge, where He's already brought our soul in reality at the moment of new birth. So where are you going? Nowhere. Then what are you doing? I'm beholding the one unto whom I've been brought. It's like, this is a real terrible example, but I'll give it anyway. It's like if I said, be in the conference room. Everybody, be in the conference room. And you're thinking, what is this guy saying? I am in the conference room. I'm already here. What do you mean, be here? Be where you be. At the moment of new birth, we've been brought unto Christ because Christ appeared in our soul. We cannot be anywhere else. It's impossible. God has brought us. God has joined us. What God has done, we cannot undo. I mean, well, he goes on. Okay. Behold, I received commandment to bless, and He blessed. I cannot reverse it. I can't reverse what God did. If I wanted to, or even if I tried to, I can't reverse what God Almighty has done. So, God, Yahweh, the Lord, has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has He seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord God is with him, and the shadow of a king is among him, among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what God hath wrought. This one is our life. This one is our life. God the Father is pleased with our life, who is Christ, not with what we believe is our life. We're not even pleased with that. We just have the wrong life in view. But that doesn't change God's view. What I have in view and what I know does not change what God knows. And what God knows is solid and secure, more than this table or the ground we even stand on and sit on. And the Holy Spirit, just like the disciples on the road, begins in the entirety of the scripture, gathering the fragments to testify of Christ, presenting the fragments, showing the fragments, here's Christ here, there's Christ here. Wow, this actually does talk about Jesus. Oh, wow, this is a miracle of God. I can't do that. Oh, wow. You know? And then at some point, the Lord determines when, how, distributes, and we behold the one who has always been in our midst, in our soul, since the moment we were born again. It's kind of what was on my heart.
I think with life, we always say here, like, life was never made to be easy. And also it's like how we say that this is too easy. Like, what do you mean? That's it? You know, that's all we have to do. But life and situations, problems, whatever we go through, people, that's always going to be there. And it can really distract us from that reality. And almost, it's almost as if, and it might sound weird, but it's almost as if life is supposed to distract us from that reality. Because it does, you know.
Like this life here.
Yeah, life. And yeah, you know, yeah. Whatever we go through, our problem. You know, everybody's going through something. Everybody's going through something. And it's almost as if life is supposed to distract us from this reality. Because, you know, I said this before, we'll come here in this table, and we're talking about this, and I'm sure everybody's like, yeah, amen, like, but then we leave out of this door, and life's gonna happen. Someone's gonna, you know, make us upset, and we're gonna get, you know, whatever it is, and again, our initial reaction might not be what we're talking about right here. And, but, it has to be from the Lord to really bring us into, man, this is going on, and yes, it's real, it's very logical, I mean, but this is how you're saying, that's not my life. Although it's very real, and although it's going on, but that's not my life. We always say, too, it almost seems irresponsible to think like that. To think that whatever we're going through in life, whatever it is, to kind of say, well, I'm not going to worry about that. But we kind of have to be. Because the more that we focus on that, the more that we let that be our life, we're blind to this. And it's like, well, that's not real. This is more of like a fairy tale. This is real. I mean, I feel this. Man, I'm hurt, or I'm stressed out, anxiety. Man, I feel that. I don't feel. How do I even feel? Like, how do I? But it has to be the Lord to make us into that transition of, or faith. I believe in a way it takes us to have that faith to say, yes, this is real and that's going on, but I'm going to believe for just a second that Christ is my life, and I'm just going to run with that. That's my starting point. And whether my soul feels that or not, whether I believe that or not, I'm just going to go with that. And whatever happens, it's going to happen. And just go from there. And that, again, that it really has to take us to really just almost have that, I don't know, willpower to say, man, no, like, this is my life. Christ is my life. And that's true, whether I want to believe that or not. Especially in this situation. Mm-hmm. Especially, oh, man, that's hard, but I'm just going to hold on to that.
And we'll have something in our heart that will push us that way. We will, because it's him. You know, because if you start, you know, when they started walking, they were sad. Situation was bad.
Yes.
You know, it was pretty, I mean, it was sad. They were sad.
Well, they lost their hope.
You know, it was like, man, he's gone. You know, they were sad. I mean, I can imagine just kind of like, man, this is bad. You know, it just kind of walking. And then at the end, you know, think about it. They just walked 7 miles. You know, all that walking. And then at the end, it says, oh, Jesus, they were, let's go back. You know, they were like, let's go back. It said at that same hour, it was already late. At the same hour, they went back. You know, it was a total different, you know, it was not them. I mean, how can you say, well, no, it wasn't. It was like, you know, we got to go back. We got to let them know. You know, it's like everything changed. You know, we got to, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure they were tired. You know, but hey, if you're sad, I don't think you're going to go back. It was like, man, we just saw the Lord. It's Jesus. You know, let's go back and let's tell everybody. You know, you know, in that, you might say, well, how did they get to that point? You know, what happened other than they were just walking, Jesus appeared? It's not like they saw Jesus, Hey, come over here, you know, make us feel better. You know, we're sad, make us feel better, Jesus. No, he showed up. You know, he showed up. They were walking. They were pretty sad, you know, but at the end, it was the Lord. You know, at the end, they saw the life. They saw the, you know, man, I'm pretty sure at that point they were excited. Man, let's walk back. They have to be excited to walk back. You know, they have to be. But what did they do? You know, what did they do? They didn't call on him. You know, it just, you know, I love it because he said that even the Lord said he kind of made it like if he was passing, you know, like he was still going. And it's still kind of like something. It's always, that's what I'm saying. If all we got is Jesus is my life, and at this time, that's all I got. Jesus, you're my life, you know, and I'm just going to believe that, and just kind of, this is my start, right here, that's all I got, you know, and then it was like, hey, come on, you know, something, it tells us that something in them, they felt something, you know, they invited him over, you know, to break the bread. And I believe that even at our lowest, you know, he'll have that, you know, like, oh, all I got, so yeah, you know what, I don't want to believe, or I, you know, I'm not believing, but you're my life, you know, this is my story, that's all I got, that's all I know, and go from there, you know, I'm gonna take this walk, and you will appear, you know, hope, you know, it's, take that start. He lives in us. You know, he lives in us. You know, it's just, it's all, man, if that's all we got. Man, that's a great start. You know, that's a great start. You're my life. That's all I know. You live in me. Where are you taking? Where are you going from here? Okay, it's your turn, you know. It's your turn. You know, instead of going into a religious mode, you know, instead of going into a religious mode, let's just start with the base. You're my life. It is not my life. It is yours. Yeah. What can you do with this? That's all I know. Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Just a quick testimony. As you're speaking, I thought of this testimony in the scripture of Christ being present. The Lord, he goes out of his way to make us know that he's present. He does. He brought Israel out of Egypt, and they're in the wilderness, right? And he goes out of his way every single time. And one of the ways he does this, he says this to Moses, let them build me a tabernacle that I may dwell in the midst of them. And if you look at it, the tabernacle was always in the middle. And Israel was lined up encamped out from it, like in the shape of a cross is what it was. But the tabernacle was always in the middle, which represented God being there the whole time. And see, the walls were so high that you couldn't peek over. You know, it wasn't like this little wall and you could see into that room or you could see into this room. From the outside, you can't see what's on the inside. But God was present the whole entire time. And he gave them that testimony, that picture of himself, so they could go from what they thought. Where is the Lord? Is he not among us? Because that's what they said, you know, several times. Is the Lord not among us? Why did he bring us out to kill us and all this stuff? Where is he? You know, we're hungry or this or that. And he had always been there the whole entire time. Nothing had changed. Because remember, when they were in Egypt, they walked through the door, and they ate the lamb, and now the lamb is on the inside. The moment they walked through the door with the blood, they ate the lamb, Christ himself, and guess what? He's on the inside now. That's a testimony. The second we receive salvation, we actually receive Christ. We receive him, and he is on the inside from that moment onward. He doesn't leave. And every point after that is to, Raymond said, is to bring us, and I'm going to take this step further, is to bring us from our believing in hope, right? Believing in hope is you believe what God has said. Pastor Tony mentioned it. Hey, at least get on the same page with the Lord. At least agree with God. Believe what he said is true. Believe that he is not a liar. Believe that he is true. Believe that what he said is true. Believe that. And allow him to declare his testimony in your heart, to birth that expectation more and more, where you believe, but you've not even seen yet. And let him bring you from believing in hope, having not seen, to believing in faith, where he himself unwraps the gift before the eyes of your heart and the eyes of your soul, and you see what you've been expecting. You see what you've been hoping for. And now it's no longer hope. Now it's faith. You still believe, but your belief is faith because now you see. And what happens? I mean, what happens when any child opens their gift? And the thing is, we can't open this immeasurable gift we received. Only God the Father can do this. But what happens, like, back to my example, on Christmas Day, when that kid opens their gift, and it's what they were hoping for, and maybe it's more than what they were hoping for. It's like the 4th of July. It's party time. You know? I love the way Brother Tony mentioned it. Nothing changed. They were totally sad at the beginning. And completely rejoicing at the end. But nothing changed. I mean, nothing changed about Jerusalem. Everything was still the same. What changed was they saw the Lord. And that affected everything else. They saw the greater, and this other stuff really didn't matter anymore.
I was thinking too, it's like it's almost when they... They had that hope that Jesus was going to be what he said he was going to be. And even though they were blind, well, they were blind to that when it happened, that's what they were sad. And then but when they saw the Lord, they saw that that reality was to be true, even though they didn't see that. It was true. He did die. He did rise from, you know, that was true. That didn't change. The thing was is that they didn't see that. But even though they didn't see it, it doesn't mean that it wasn't true. What happens when they saw the Lord, they saw what? The expectation. They're like, wait, this is it. Like, and that's what changed. That brought them to that, man, that is it. this really is true. Is, you know, enough for them to be like, let's go back and tell everybody it's true. And then I think the next verse after that, Jesus appears to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's the same thing with us. Like, we, even though we might not see that reality, but man, when we do, man, like, you, no one can take that away from you. That's something you can't really describe. Like, it's a poor example to try to explain when you see the reality. Like, that's, you know, everybody's different. Everybody has their own way of seeing. But when the Lord reveals himself, his reality, you have that. Man, you feel that mercy. You feel that peace that he talks about that the world can offer you. You're grateful. You have more, you know, when you're talking about the gift, like I think about my daughter, and you know, we're all about like trying to give her the best and a present and stuff like that. We try to surprise her with certain things. We know how she's gonna feel when she sees that thing that she's been asking for. And I feel like that's how the Father is. He knows how we're gonna feel. That's why it pleases him. You know, it pleases him because he knows what we need. He knows that this is way better than what you think your life is. And, you know, just, and then, you know, then the expectation happens and we open it up and we're just like, man, like, it is true. This is my life. Like, man, like, and then that's the reality. And then you go from there and you see him again and then you see him again. And like, that's our life.
Yes.
Kind of like, don't go in the garbage and look for your present. That's not where I put it. Got your present right here, you know, and that's the Lord. You know, but somehow, sometimes think that it's somewhere else and it's something, you know. We try to find something that is less. He already gave us everything in him.
I guess the feeling, I guess, that we're waiting for. I don't know. You're waiting to feel peace or whatever. It's less because it's feeling. You'll feel it for the moment and it'll be gone. You know, that's everything that we think that we need. It's other than Christ, it falls short. Not what we, for the moment, yes, but it's not gonna, you know, truly satisfy our souls. But we feel like we know what we need. No, Lord, I need to feel this. I need this fix. Like, this is what's gonna make everything better. You know, it's like almost we feel like we know what we need more than what he knows. Our minds play tricks on us, I guess. But again, like I was saying, we're always searching for something other than Christ. We feel like that's, I don't know why we do that. But to really have faith and hope that we eventually will go past what we feel and what we see. You know, that's my hope. That's my hope. That's something that I'm expected to, you know, that I go past beyond what, you know, what I feel, what I, you know, what I don't feel, what I see, what I don't see. And it's all in the mind. It's all in the mind to switch it off. To not feel anymore. It sounds ugly. I don't want to feel anymore. I want to know this to be true. I want to go past.
Yeah, I don't think God takes away our feelings.
Right.
But because think about this. Our feelings are always based upon what we know. Mm-hmm. What we know is based upon what we see. You know, the disciples, they probably saw Jesus crucified. Therefore, they knew he died. And they were sad. That's all up to that point. That's all they knew. And that's like the order, like in the train, I heard it said that the feelings are like the caboose. But God isn't here to get rid of those. But he doesn't want the caboose
to lead.
You know?
It's back there for a reason.
That's automatic. You know, that's automatic. Okay? Sometimes you wake up. When I walked in here, I saw a Vietnamese, and I'm like, that's what I drink.
Yes.
Because I know me. I'm slow. I'm dragging half the time, you know, unless I have one of those right there, Viet Energy. You know, I'll say this. When I drink one of those, I'm like the perfect Christian. Before then, not quite. But see, all that's outward. That's how I feel, you know? That's how I feel. But that doesn't change reality. And yet, because later on, when the disciples actually saw the Lord, then I didn't even catch this, but they were so excited about what they saw. They went back and you're thinking, it was probably, I mean, the journey to get there, 7 miles, to them it was probably nothing because they were hearing the testimony of Christ. They were hearing about Jesus. That does something. The testimony draws our heart above into the heavenlies. Where you literally lose sight of this natural creation, and you're not even your natural ears, but the ears of your soul, the ears of your heart are beginning to hear the testimony, the reality of this one who is the new creation, Christ himself. And it's the heart being brought above all this natural creation realm that we see with our natural eyes, you know, and it's not some, super new agey. No. In creation, God is created in Christ Jesus, you know. This other creation, it's the one that's passing away. And in seeing him, regardless of what is going on down here, that's why I really wanted to just mention that nothing changed. What changed was that their hearts were not submitted to their knowledge. Because by their knowledge, they didn't know the one who was with them. Their hearts were now submitted and allowing that perfect work of the testimony to go on in their hearts. And their hearts were submitted to the knowledge of God. The one who God knows is present, whether we know or not. The one who God knows is always there, whether we know, feel it or not. And it's only when they saw the Lord that their sadness was turned to joy. But yeah, like the whole, if you think about it, this is a terrible example, but it's like, even in this natural world, there's days you just don't feel like going to work. Guess what? You do it anyway. Right? Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, of course.
There's just some days you just don't feel like doing what you gotta do, but you do it anyway. Well, if we can accept that in the world, why then do we change it in the things that matter more? Of God. Do you know what I mean? If our feelings, We set our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions aside and do what needs to be done in this natural world, guess what? We should probably do it in going after the Lord. Because why? Because that stuff is going to come and it's going to go. It's going to come and it's going to go. It's going to come and it's going to go. but the one who always remains is the Lord. You know, I thought about that once when I had this one part-time job, and it's like, man, I just don't feel like going to work today, but I got to do what I got to do. You know? But I'm glad you brought that up. Because we get bummed. I get bummed. Like, if I don't have my vegan energy, then I'm dragging. Although I had some coffee this morning, thank you, brother.
It feels like the walk that... What did it say? It was 7 hours? Or it took 7 hours?
7 miles.
Well, I mean,
so about a mile an hour.
Yeah. Well, 7 miles, how long is that like? 7 miles, it's like how long?
A few hours.
In a car or walking?
Walk.
I mean, if you jog 12-minute miles, if you're jogging 12-minute, imagine walking, you know, you're probably double it. So like half an hour a mile, maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah, so
about an hour.
And when the Lord was giving the testimony, you're right, they weren't thinking about the, I'm sure they got there and like, we're here. Man, I mean.
Weren't thinking about the journey.
Yeah. Yeah, weren't thinking about, you know, walking. Because I mean, they had to walk, like, in sandals, you know. In sandals or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever the heck, you know, not good shoes.
And they have Nike shoes. Adidas.
You know, and, but, that they were so distracted. So, well, the natural life was so distracted because what was being presented to them. And then, you know, even more so, enough for them to go back. But the natural didn't care about the natural. They knew they had to walk. It didn't matter to them that they had to walk. What their motivation was is what was governing them and made them like, okay, we gotta go. So I think once, you know, the Lord has revealed to us and more like, I think our last time you came, I think we asked that, like, you know, can we ever get to a place where nothing bothers us? Right? And you're like, yeah, I think we can. I remember we're kind of looking at each other like, man, like, I want to be there. You know, I want to be in that place. But, you know, we're almost saying that in such a flesh way that we don't want to go through problems. But I'm sure you weren't saying that as if you didn't have any problems. You were saying it in a sense of like, well, that's not my life. And I think Pastor Randy said that we can ask for peace, but there's a soul peace and there's a heart peace. Jesus going to the cross, his soul was in turmoil. He didn't have any peace in his soul, but he had peace in his heart, enough for him to be motivated to still go. So I think we can ask, we want peace, but we're asking for the wrong peace in our soul, and we can use that in the flesh, and that our peace should be in the heart. That's going to motivate us.
Any other questions or comments before?
It takes 2 hours and 30 minutes to walk 7 miles.
On flat terrain?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Walking. Oh, mostly flat.
All right. Go ahead and kind of pray and dismiss this.
Thank you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time. I thank you for those here. I thank you, Lord, that you are so settled in the work of your Son, that your Son is seated, Lord, with nothing else to do. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that the one you have brought our souls unto, the one you have brought us unto, is your delight. thank you that you love your Son, Father, and I thank you that you've given that very one whom you love to be our life. You've done this. This was never our work. Never our work. You've known the truth even before we were born again, even before we even considered you. And you continue to know the truth, even as we don't even see you who are present. And yet you never change. You remain steadfast. I ask that for this, for those here, for this fellowship that, that you are bringing together, Lord, that you would get them together, Lord. Bring their hearts in knowledge upon your foundation, just as you have brought their souls in reality upon this very same foundation, who is Christ your Son. Bring everything that they know, that they think they know, between their knowledge of you, Lord, their knowing of you, or anything like that. Bring it all. Relationships one with another, their relationship with you, bring it from their knowing, Lord, unto your knowing. From what is so shaky and unstable unto what is your solid rock. I ask you, bless everyone here, Lord, even as you blessed the disciples who are walking on that road, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would begin in each and everyone's heart here, gathering up the fragments. Gathering up the fragments, Lord, and let your testimony have its perfect work in their hearts. Let that expectation to know you who are present be birthed in the hearts of those here, Lord. And in your timing, my God, I ask that you would make known your Son in every single heart that is here, Lord. Because it does please you to make known your Son. Lord, in the times when we look to something less, when we consider something less, when we consider a life that isn't even our life, Lord, I ask, Lord, in your mercy, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would direct our hearts unto our true life, who is Christ your Son, the one in whom you find no iniquity, no fault, the one who is your delight, the one who is your perfection. I ask that we would find everything in your Son, Lord. Bless those here, Lord. Keep those here, Lord. Keep their hearts, just as you keep their soul. Just as you keep their soul. Lord, let your countenance shine upon them and bless them, Lord. For your good pleasure, in Jesus' name.